This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Yes, it is. It's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Lots of news to get to. Man, this story is just crazy. Dan Springer is the he covers all of the Pacific Northwest for Fox News, and he had another great story about Seattle's woke waterfront. And what he discovered is that the $700 million taxpayers are spending on the new waterfront, now that the viaduct has come down, it is designed for one thing and one thing only. So let's have a little guessing game. What is that one thing? To enjoy the beautiful views, to visit all of the restaurants and shops that have been so financially devastated, not just by COVID, but by all of the tear down of the viaduct for years before that. Is that what it's all about? No, come on. This is Seattle. The $700 million waterfront project is designed for one thing and one thing only. Here, let me get my woke dice out here. They're my woke word dice. And the one thing is to make you feel guilty. That's what it's all about. So he detailed some of the stuff that when you go to that waterfront, some of the stuff that you're going to see down there.
So whatever happened to coming to a scenic place like this and just enjoying being out in nature and enjoying the scenery? Here at Pier 62, which is completed part of this park, a beautiful spot, really. You'll be hit over the head with a lot of negativity about the past and the future. You'll be told, essentially, that this area was taken from the Duwamish people. Another big fence sign details the history of discrimination against the waterfront workforce. There are little signs on the railing featuring hand-picked artists. One photographer says his pictures reflect the ongoing history of interactions between the colonizer and the colonized. Another artist sees a solemn future fortified by the grief and loss of our natural world. A man who represents minority-owned businesses is not a fan.
It's a place where people would feel intimidated, expected to be guilty of something they had no control over, and it just creates a negative environment.
And again, that guy you just heard from, he's part of an organization that supports minority-owned businesses. But he says, look, enough of this. People don't want to come down on a beautiful summer day so that you can get hit over the head with a woke 2x4, get beaten into submission. But that's all local government does anymore. Tries to divide us, tries to make people hate each other, tries to make people feel guilty. And if you don't feel guilty, then you're to feel like a victim. $700 million for this nonsense.
Renderings actually make it look really cool. Open space, some grass, and viewing platform where for decades there was an ugly viaduct. But the nonprofit in charge is all about wokeness. On its website, it says, Friends of Waterfront Seattle acknowledges that historic and existing systemic racism is embedded in our city. The company is hiring, and all jobs will, quote, engage in regular conversations about race and equity through all staff meetings, trainings, and a diversity, equity, inclusion book club.
Okay. Man, somebody borrowed my woke word dice for that statement that they filed. It's not even understandable, the words that they use. They just play word salad. Listening to local public officials, I'm glad that Dan Springer is a great reporter. I'm glad he read that whole thing. But it sounds like when my mom was in more advanced stages of dementia, they would do what was called word salad and just say random words that didn't make any sense. That's the way local public officials are. They just, as long as the words are equity and diversity and all of that. So the goal is to create inclusive spaces for community-driven cultural events where all people, specifically black, indigenous, and people of color, as well as underserved communities, feel welcome and safe. That's a well-crafted statement by that group.
I think most of us know that Seattle is a test pilot for Marxism. We see that everywhere. Sadly, downtown Seattle is a shadow of its former self.
Now, 35% of all the programming in this park will be geared to, quote, underserved communities, and we'll find out exactly what that means when this whole park opens up in 2024.
So there you go, $700 million to get the most woke waterfront in the country, maybe the world. And believe me, I've been to many European waterfront water ports and walked around those cities. And even in the socialist nations of Europe, you don't have anything like this. Seattle's moved far to the left of socialism in how they're spending our $700 million. And it's a shame. I have a lot of great memories of the waterfront. I remember on, oh man, my wife and I, by the way, last weekend was, this is crazy to think about because I'm so young still. But last Sunday, 3 days ago, was the 38th anniversary of our second date because she took me to a sorority dance and then I took her to the Pike Place Street Fair the day before Memorial Day, 38 years ago. And then on like our fourth or fifth date, I love deep dish pizza. And there was a thing called Chicago's down on the waterfront. And I took her out for deep dish pizza only to find out this is when, somebody's in love. She told me a few months later how much she hates deep dish pizza. Too much cheese. But she smiled and she ate it. We had a lovely, lovely time. But I mean, I have memories like that. I have memories of going to ye old curiosity shop and seeing, who's the mummified guy? Sylvester? I think it's Sylvester. And reading the Lord's Prayer written on a grain of rice and stuff like that. I remember going to see great concerts on the pier down there when they were still doing that. Saw Tom Jones. Saw Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now it's just becoming a liberal mess down on the Seattle waterfront. It's going to be filled with homeless people. There are going to be needles everywhere. Every open space that we've paid, not we, but especially screwed over by this thing, is that local taxing district, what they call the Local Improvement District, a LID. So all the condos down the waterfront, I know they're worth a lot of money today, but there are also people on fixed incomes who bought a condo for $150,000 30 years ago, and they don't have a lot of money, but City of Seattle said, give us $9,000, your share. And they're going to start growing that too. Man, if you live around South Queen Anne, LID's coming. Magnolia Bridge, LID's coming. They're going to come tax you big lump sums, thousands and thousands of dollars. So anyway, there's your woke waterfront in Seattle. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. Nicole, I know you're a big fan of The Office. It was, of course, when Pam left the reception desk to become a salesperson, she was replaced. What was the character's name?
Aaron.
Played by Ellie Kemper?
Yeah, Aaron.
Aaron, yeah. And I think that Ellie Kemper is she created a really interesting character who, is ditzy and very naive. And I didn't realize did you know about her background before the story went crazy about her yesterday?
No, not a lot. No, I didn't have a lot of information. I mean, she has another show. Oh gosh, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt, yeah.
Everybody, I know a lot of people that love that show. It's not really my style, but no, other than her current work, I haven't really looked
at it. Yeah, well, apparently she grew up incredibly wealthy. Her dad was a CEO of some company in St. Louis, and she went to Princeton, all of this. Now she is a properly woke actress, as evidenced by her Instagram page. Well, anyway, we just found out that Ellie Kemper is a horrible racist. And that's because When she was 19 years old, and this was more than 22 years ago, 1999, she was 19 years old, and she entered a beauty pageant in St. Louis, the Queen of Love and Beauty at the Fair St. Louis in 1999, and she won. She was named the queen. So how's that racist? Well, it turns out that the group that started this pageant back in 1878, it was started by a Confederate officer named Alonzo Slayback. And since he was a Confederate officer, of course, in 1878, this pageant had racist connotations. And it turns out that they didn't allow black women to enter the beauty pageant until 1979, 20 years before Ellie Kemper entered. But by 1999, it was integrated and didn't have any remnants of that racist past. But because a Confederate soldier started it in 1878, and because they excluded blacks, somebody found this yesterday, and they started trending on Twitter what a racist Ellie Kemper was because she entered this pageant. And my analogy is, do you consider Mike Trout to be a racist because he plays a sport that prohibited blacks until 1947. So obviously every person, if we're going to hold every Major League Baseball player to the same standard as actress Ellie Kemper, then all of them are racist too. And I was thinking, this poor, she's not a girl anymore, but she's 41 now, I guess. But what must it be like? You're just living your life, and then one day, some idiot, some loser, and that's what these internet people are. They are so dissatisfied with their own life, and they are clueless about how to improve their own life. So the only way they can make themselves feel temporarily better, I don't even think it makes them feel temporarily better. I think it just numbs the pain of their meaningless existence. And the only way they can numb that pain, that they can get just a little schwitz of Novocaine, is to try to hurt somebody else. And so they go after her last night, and it's just flying all over that she's some kind of a racist. And then I have to note, there are people on the right who usually rail against this sort of thing, who are saying, you know what, she deserves it. Look at her Instagram page. It's all about supporting Marxist organizations like BLM and all the appropriate Hollywood far-left things. And now she deserves it because she supports these groups that are so radically left, and it's the radical left going after her now. So the head's eating the tail of the snake. I don't buy that. She doesn't deserve what's happening to her. I don't care what her politics are. Nobody deserves to have that kind of nonsense. People going after them.
Disposable cameras are fun, although it does seem wasteful and you don't ever get to see your pictures. If it's an important event that you want to remember, I recommend using a real camera. But I don't care if I forget today.
Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, I have not had a chance to hear this audio, but Nicole, you tell me that this is just spectacular. Do you know which university in D.C. campus reform went to for this?
I'm not sure he was on a campus specifically. I think he was on the streets. He's in front of an H&M store. So I think he was just picking out college students from the area.
Which are easy to find in D.C. You got George Washington, American University, Georgetown's in D.C., Howard. I believe Howard's in D.C. also. So anyway, campus reform went to ask students in Washington, D.C., college students, about Memorial Day, which we honored all of the fallen a couple of days ago, all the people who have given the ultimate sacrifice. And you told me, Nicole, And I purposely did not listen to it before we went on the air because I want to experience it at the same time as our listeners. But you said that even by the standards of these usual men on the streets, this one's particularly galling.
It's just disgusting, really. I mean, we're honoring fallen soldiers that have made this country what it is, and these kids have no idea.
Okay, so here they are asked about Memorial Day.
You know, we're talking about Memorial Day. Is this a holiday that you support? Is this something that you're going to be celebrating?
I'm not celebrating. I don't think Memorial Day should be a thing that we celebrate personally.
Okay, why not?
I feel like it's a celebration of U.S. imperialism and colonialism, personally. It's not like an attack on any individual, but more of a system.
Absolutely not. I think it represents a lot of negative aspects of America and highlights something that, you know, people shouldn't necessarily be proud of. If we're going to honor and celebrate the dead, I think it should be those that lost their lives to, you know, genocide in America.
Do you know why we celebrate Memorial Day?
I know it's like veterans. Yeah.
Do you know why we celebrate Memorial Day?
Not really, no.
To be honest, not really.
You know, I did, maybe like 3 years ago.
Right. I mean, it's imperialism, been so.
Yeah. There's actually a problem with Memorial Day, which is that it is kind of memorializing American imperialism and kind of glorifying it. Mm-hmm. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to sign this?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Would you be willing to sign in support of that, though?
Yeah. Probably not, because it's one of my bank holidays, and I work at a bank, so.
Okay.
But I do think we should probably rebrand Memorial Day as something else. Like, okay. let's celebrate something worthwhile instead of imperialism.
Wow. Okay, but we're not done. I never have so many who personally think they are so smart been revealed to be so abjectly stupid. But here's the one kid who learned something important because of Memorial Day.
I mean, like, I didn't really think of in this way until I got to college, and, like, I took women's and gender studies classes, and that put me on this path where I'm like, yeah, like, f*** the U.S.
Okay. So you took the gender studies classes, and you had this kind of revelation?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
What was it about the class?
Kind of like, I was always into social justice, but I didn't have the language for that. And then it kind of gave me that language and made me realize how everything is connected. And like, for me, like, I was on this like spirituality type journey where I was like, oh, we're all one or whatever. And like, what I was learning in social justice, like, was the material analysis I needed to practice what I feel like exists on a spiritual plane in real everyday life.
Very cool. Would you be down to like completely abolish the military?
Yes, please.
Get my non-woke word dice. Sir, you are a moron. Actually, no, I don't call names anymore. You're not a moron. Your thoughts, words, and actions are all moronic. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast, 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 fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You got 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, lots more to come. You think it'd be a good idea to give every single person in King County $1,000 at the start of the month? Where will the money come from? It's magic. Taxpayers will just cough it up. Because they don't have any restrictions on how much they can give to the government? We'll talk about that next on the Dory Monson Show. As we told you last week, the deadbeat society just continues to march along. It's like Old Man River. It just keeps rolling. Last week, King County Councilman Dave Up the Grove, he unveiled a proposal to explore universal basic income. They're doing this in Los Angeles now, where everybody is just sent a $1,000 check at the beginning of the month. And you might be wondering, where does the money come from? It's magic. It just appears. Nobody has to pay anything. Now, actually, Dave Up the Grove says he will ask for a supplemental budget so you and I can pay for universal basic income. We put several inquiries out to get Dave Up the Grove to talk about this. He shockingly would not defend his plan with me. Reagan Dunn is his fellow King County councilman. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Reagan, always great to have you.
Hey, Dory, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so do you know any of the details of what Dave Upthegrove wants to toss out for UBI?
Well, he wants to put a quote-unquote study together to look at the impacts of proposing a universal basic income program throughout King County. And my experience with these quote-unquote studies is they are the easiest way for the Democrats to get the camel's nose under the tent. So we would start with a study, and then from there they would probably fund a pilot program like Stockton did, for example, in L.A., and then from there they would rig a study. That study would be highly biased and would come back with, it's all rainbows and unicorns, and we're going to fund this thing countywide. That's what I think is happening here.
Well, I don't remember the issue, but I remember several years ago, Seattle was doing something, and it was subject to be reviewed, and they hired a couple of professors at the University of Washington, and their review was not kind to the Seattle program, and so they went and found a professor at Berkeley who would provide a rigged study to confirm. So you're right. I mean, all these things do is confirm what they already want to do, and if they can't find one study that'll do it, they'll go and find another.
Yeah, and that's just the great worry for me. And these studies are always rigged. They go to people, university professors are the favorite, that already have a strong bias towards it, and they set the controls for that study to find an outcome that is favorable to the policy. It happens all the time, and that's one of the scariest things about what's happening in King County. One of the reasons why every time there is a new program, be very careful about the underlying assumptions and studies that tend to show that its pilot program was good. You should be very concerned.
Well, but let's also talk about what's even more concerning, and that is what I said at the beginning, this whole deadbeat nation mentality that we're in, where the government is sending out these stimulus checks far beyond what was necessary or what makes sense, and then most of the blue states are adding their own money on top of it. We are just spending money hand over fist. We're giving it to people with no expectations of anything in return. Our nation is almost $30 trillion in debt that your and my children and grandchildren are going to have to pay for. Inflation, got more inflation numbers today, and when you just print money and have no basis for the dollar other than the market's opinion of where it should be, of course inflation is going to start running roughshod over the nation. So you combine all these things, Reagan, and we're in some really perilous times.
Well, we are, and the government's spending way, way too much money at the federal level. And they spend it's so absurd that local governments barely know what to do with the money that's coming through. And I can tell you right now, most of it's not rationally related to COVID. It is done to utilize the federal stimulus crisis to try and promote sort of hyper-liberal socialist programs like universal basic income. And everyone should be very concerned. In years 2, 3, and 4, we will feel the weight of the scandals of all these ridiculous misappropriations that are occurring right now as we speak. And your point about inflation is, you and I remember growing up the old misery index during the Carter years. And when you combine, you know, you combine the interest rate with the unemployment numbers, and you get a real effect on quality of life for individuals in a negative way, we're going to see that misery index go up hugely, just like it did during Jimmy Carter. The ability to finance a home, remember, 17% interest rates, absurd. We're right on that trajectory right now. And it's something we should be very concerned about.
Well, and since so many people have not, especially people in their 20s and 30s, have not lived through inflation, it is the most insidious tax imaginable. If you have 4% inflation, if you make $50,000 a year, that is taking $2,000 off of your buying power. It is a stealth $2,000 tax. It's $4,000 if you make $100,000 a year. And so it's, yeah, we're in some really stupid economic times right now, all to push those leftist causes. Okay, back to the universal basic income, just real quick before we go. So, yeah, my listeners know I was born in poverty. I took my first job when I was 12. I've worked every day of my life since I was 12 years old. It's just always seemed to me, Reagan, that universal basic income can be provided not by government, but by the individual by getting a job. Is that just too quaint and old-fashioned a notion these days?
You know, I have a saying in government, those of us who are Republicans working in it, the best social program in the world is a job. And we need to do everything we can to encourage people to find employment, find work, start a career, get the education to do it, all of the things that made America great in the first place. And one of the problems with these huge stimulus checks that are coming out and these even things like rent moratoriums, even things like universal basic income, they tend to push people in the direction of not wanting to work. And
of course,
a society that is unproductive is not a first world nation any longer. We're not going to be competitive, keep up with countries like Japan and now China and some of the European countries who are doing well. We need to get back to the basics of what we did to make our society a strong one, and that is get everybody back to work.
Well, and not only that, and I said we were almost done, but you sparked something in me. I mean, fast food places, they can't find workers these days. There are a lot of entry-level jobs that nobody wants to do, even with $15 an hour. And so business is greatly accelerating automation. And I mean, they are on the fast track to try to automate as many jobs as they can because they can't find workers. And what that means, of course, is that there will be fewer and fewer opportunities for the unskilled, which means they will have to be on government programs, which is exactly what our government wants. And that's why I think they're sending out these stimulus checks, why the blue states are adding to it, why your colleague wants to give everybody $1,000 a month in universal basic income. They want as many deadbeats as possible who will be completely reliant on government for their alpha and their omega.
That's exactly right. We have the lowest application pool for jobs at King County government that we've seen in many years. And it's directly a result of these major stimulus programs. People don't need to work right now. They don't have to because government's providing it. And that's a big mistake because it creates a cycle of dependency, which is what you talked about here.
Exactly.
To concern all your listeners. Thanks.
All right. Reagan, it's always great talking with you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Likewise, my friend, anytime.
All right. King County Councilman Reagan Dunn joining us. What do you think? Would you like to get a check in the mail from King County taxpayers every single month? Would that make you happy? Would that fix your life? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Emails obtained through a Freedom of Information Act by media outlets are really damning about Dr. Anthony Fauci. They got Fauci's emails going back to early last year. And after a year and a half of people trying to tell us that this came from bats, came from a wet market, it occurred naturally in nature and just mutated to affect humans and to kill 3.5 million people and 600,000 Americans. And now these emails reveal the depth of the deception. And it is not 100% that it came from, but as I've been telling you, the ramifications of that are pretty extraordinary. In March and April of last year, in the early days of coronavirus, Fauci was being communicated with by doctors who said that, yes, this looks like it came from a lab. There's nothing to suggest that this came from the animal world. February 21st. 2020, a professor at Cornell said, "We think there is a possibility that the virus was released from a lab in Wuhan, the biotech area of China." And Fauci just forwarded it to a colleague and said, "Please handle." Scientist Christian Anderson told Fauci that COVID had unusual features that potentially look engineered. And then the scientists authored a piece, Fauci and others, insisting the virus was natural. This is a massive cover-up, if it is true, because China should have, first of all, participated in the entire expense, not participate in, they should be responsible for the entire expense that every nation has had to undergo if it came out of their lab. But some of the other stuff that it reveals is, you know, and I've been talking about this for more than a year now. I was fooled by Fauci at first, but on 60 Minutes, he said, ah, don't wear a mask.
There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with.
Okay, he was sure of it. And what he said is that the droplets that would carry COVID were so small, so tiny, that they could get through most masks. He said the masks you get at the drugstore are useless. But then he played along with masking up America, with shutting down our economy. In April of 2020, he said, oh, we'll be back. We might be back on beaches by summertime. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just saying whatever popped into his head. But I will tell you, the media played along with it. The media, in no uncertain terms, said, no, the lab thing is a right-wing conspiracy.
Because we don't know where the novel coronavirus came from yet, the conspiracy theories fill the void.
I'm telling you, the Chi-Coms are trying to weaponize this thing.
Here's conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh, with zero proof, suggesting a Chinese bioweapon lab is to blame.
It's this question about the Wuhan lab. We know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
This week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum.
Okay, debunked bunkum. So everybody in the media just wanted to play along that this didn't come from a lab because they said it was racist. And so now everybody's saying, well, there are two possibilities, either that it came from nature or that it accidentally escaped from a lab in Wuhan province. There is one other possibility. China, the communist government of China, wants the destruction of the United States. And they had a president that was not very friendly to China, that was a hardliner with China for 4 years leading up to 2020, and perhaps destabilizing America and its economy was seen as the most effective, efficient way to get rid of a president who's a hardliner against China and get somebody in who, they didn't know who it was going to be on the Democratic side. It turns out it's somebody who's barely aware of what's going on. I'll demonstrate that with some new sound bites next hour. Unbelievable. But that is another possibility, that it accidentally escaped or that this was done to try to destroy our country economically and end the lives, as it turned out, of 600,000 people, more than any war. So that's why the investigation of this, what looks like a massive cover-up, is going to be fascinating. We'll check the news for you at the top of the hour, and then the big lead at 2. Oh, I got an email or a text from somebody who told me a story about driving in Bellevue that's unbelievable. And we'll talk to him live next.